name will bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Yeah? So whatever's in front of you, whatever is confronting you, has a name. And when you declare the name of Jesus before it, it will have to begin to bow.
It will. Amen.
And keep declaring the name of Jesus before it till it bows totally.
Amen.
That's what it's about.
Yes.
Now then, I know last week I enjoyed myself. Hallelujah. And we spoke on Psalm 24. Yes. The earth is the Lord and all that is within it. Praise God, and we went on through there and looked at the word in detail. And I've been asking the Lord, well, what do you want me to follow on with, Lord? And there has been silence from heaven until this morning when I awoke. And I woke up this morning and the Lord said to me, Psalm 31. So I turned to Psalm 31 and read it. And I was sort of pondering on it, and I said to Grace this morning, I said, I don't really know where I'm going yet today with what the Lord's given me. I don't really feel yet I've got anything at this stage. So she said, you know, Grace has this daily reading Bible, the 1 year Bible. It's the New Revised Standard Version. It's in paperback, it's quite inexpensive. I recommend you, this is a good translation, by the way. It is a good translation. Because today, as I was looking at Psalm 31, I started to look at the Hebrew. And then I looked at this translation. This translation's spot on. It's slightly better tuned than the King James. And but Grace brought this 1 year Bible, this New Revised Standard to me, and she said, and she scribbles in it. She makes notes. Oh, fancy defacing a Bible. And God's Word, and she's made notes and it written all over it, ringed it, and she made a note on actually this is the 9th of February. Today's not the 9th of February, is it? What day is it today?
13th.
Hallelujah. But on the 9th of February, this word, Psalm 31, was given to us by the Lord. We were on the very day last year. We were about to go to see a solicitor with regard to a possible major court case that we as a company were involved in, Grace and I. And during our time, the Lord warned us, God warned us not to go to court on this issue. And we were in the final processes of all these things going on. We'd basically offered settlements, etc. And we were in a process and a decision where we could actually say, no, we will go to court and we will win. But God told us not to go to court. God told us that we to honour the word that we'd given and to be good stewards of His word. His word is just as important.
Yes.
His word is major. His word is key. If you cannot be faithful to this word, you cannot be faithful to God.
No.
Because this is God. This is His word. And we have to be faithful to this word, not change this word and manipulate this word around to fit our circumstances and our situations. We cannot do that. Because the moment that we begin to do that, we will fall foul of certainly God's judgment. And I'm going to read from the New Revised Standard. And if you turn to Psalm 31, and we're going to commence to read at verse 19. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, that you have laid up for those who fear you, and accomplished for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of everyone, in the shelter of your presence. You hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me. When I was beset as a city under siege, I had said in my alarm, I am driven far from your sight. But you heard my supplications when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays ones who act haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord.
Amen.
There are times when we have to wait for God.
Yes.
It's in God's time, not your time.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Yes.
Now today, this word must be for you. Again, I didn't know you were coming. And I don't know what your problem is directly. But we're going to enter in and we're going to go through and we're going to look at this a little bit in some detail. And we're going to see what God has to say to us and for us. Hallelujah. But we have to take courage. God is on our side.
Yeah. Yeah.
His word says he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And Satan will not have his way in our lives as we stay faithful to his word. To the word of Jesus. To the word of the Lord. And so we need to press on into this word. Let's have a look at verse 20. It says, thou shalt hide them in the secret place of thy presence.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means? It means that you are going to be hid in the face of God. In other words, God is going to hide you, and the hiding place is going to be where God is. And God's face will always be looking at you whilst he has you in hiding.
Amen.
He's there to ensure that the enemy will not have his way.
Amen.
He's there to ensure that he, God, will have his way with you. And so when God places you into hiding, it draws you into that secret place, you're in his face.
Yeah.
And you know, when you're in his face, you can begin to ask him and talk to him and you can make requests of him and you can tell him what's happening and you can share your heart with him, because you know when he's hiding you, when he's taking control of circumstances and situations, you're in his face.
Amen.
And you know something? When you're in his face, the devil is nowhere near you.
Amen.
The devil cannot come anywhere near you when you're in the face of God.
Yeah.
There is no way. Satan is not allowed in those secret places.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you and I need to make sure we've got some secret places in God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And yeah. Know that, hey Satan, you're never going to get in that place.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thou shalt hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the pride, from snares, from the plotting of people, from the conspiracy of man. God will hide them. He will make sure that man's plottings, man's snares, and man's conspiracies against you will come to nothing. Now, I'm speaking this word from 12 months previously, when God began the delivering process. And the process is complete.
Amen. And he was faithful.
And God was faithful to his word.
But
God never let us down. And God has brought us through into victory.
Yes.
And God has seen that the debt has been paid.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And has given us an abundance on top of.
Amen.
So we can praise God for that. But the thing is, we had to stay faithful to the word and stay in the word and let the word begin to do its work.
Amen.
You see, you and I can only do so much.
Yeah.
And what we have to do is remind God of His Word, believe what the Word says to us, and let the Word begin to work.
Yeah.
And as the Word works, so we rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the farmer sows the seed into the ground, he doesn't go out every day looking at his field.
Nope.
He rests in the knowledge that he has sown good seed. And knowing that he has sown good seed, he knows that there will come from that seed some plants. And there will in the end come and harvest. And so for you and I, we know that as we share this word of God, as we believe and as we speak this word of God out, we are sowing good seed. And as we sow this good seed, we can rest in the truth and the knowledge that this good seed will bring forth a harvest. Praise God. Now don't let the devil say you're going to have a crop failure.
Nope.
Because if you stay in the Word, you won't have a crop failure. Don't let the devil try and convince you that, well, you've done something wrong and God's never going to bless you again.
Nope.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
The Word says He is faithful and just to forgive us.
Amen.
For all our unrighteousness, for all our sins. He is faithful to forgive us. God does not hold account over you. The account was cancelled. Jesus paid the price. And so we are free to sow this seed and see the blessings of God begin to happen. So God is going to hide you from all the conspiracies that go on about behind your back. That people plan against you. God is hiding you from that.
Yes, thank you.
Praise God.
Amen.
God is hiding you.
Amen.
When the people wanted to stone Jesus, what did he do? He walked through the crowd. He walked through the crowd. Nobody stoned him.
No.
They lost sight of him.
Yeah.
They couldn't see him.
No.
If God wants to hide you, nobody will find you.
True.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I mean, the deliverer of the children of Israel, Moses, lived for 40 years in the midst of the devil's camp. And he brought him up. He fed him and nurtured him.
He did.
Ha. God is a deliverer. God will provide your deliverer and bring you through and bring you great salvation. Praise God. Continue in verse 20. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion. Another meaning for that is in a tabernacle, a booth, a cottage. Andy like a cottage, wouldn't you? Yeah, that sounds good. But God will hide you in a booth, a tabernacle, a cottage. In a pavilion, a place where He's going to hide you. Where the enemy cannot find you. Where's that? Well, I am the church. This is a building. This is the sheep shed. But I know what you mean, yeah. I know what you mean. God is looking at hiding. He will hide you in the protection of His presence. That's what God is doing. He's hiding us in the protection of His presence. And the only time that Satan can find us is when we leave His protection.
Yeah.
When we let doubts and unbelief come into our lives and we walk out of that situation and we walk away from it and we move out of that covering and that protection. And what we have to do is we have to rush back into the Word and begin to let this Word begin to draw us in again and mould us and shape us and equip us for His praise and His glory. Because you see, God is intending to bring deliverance. God is intending to bring recompense. God is intending to justify. And God is intending to prove His people that are godly and true. He intends to bless them mightily. He intends to bring his promises into their lives and fulfill them to the fullest.
Amen.
Amen. God is not a God who shortchanges his people. He's a God who will bring all that is needed for his people. So God is about to do it. But it is being in this word, and it is reminding God of this word, and reminding yourself that this is what the word says. This is not what the situation says. Jesus did not look at the situation and let the situation take control. None of the patriarchs, none of the godly men and women let the circumstances rule their lives. Consider Gideon. To face an army. And God whittled it all down to 300 men to face a mighty army. And then God used a barley loaf. The dream of a barley loaf, and destroyed the enemy. Praise God. You see, God is about to destroy the works of the devil. Totally and completely. Praise God. You can rejoice in that. Because he's going to destroy those works that come against you. Our God will abundantly bless. Psalm 31 starts off like this in verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. There is no other place. There is no other place to put your trust. You can't put your trust in stocks and shares. You can't put your trust in banking. The only place where you can put your trust is in God.
Amen.
And David says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness.
Yeah.
You see, it's not in your righteousness, but it's in God's righteousness.
Amen.
Thank God that today we are clothed in God's righteousness.
Yeah.
We're not walking in our own righteousness, but we are clothed in the righteousness of God. And God will deliver us. Because the moment he sees you, he sees Jesus.
Yes.
Because we are born and created in the image of him, yes. Jesus.
Amen.
And it's an exciting time that we're living. Because God will deliver his people. God will set the captives free. Verse 3 says, for thou art my rock and my fortress.
Yes.
Therefore, thy name. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You see, God has got to lead us and God has got to guide us.
Yeah.
Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me, for thou art my strength. Praise God. You see, God, even though there's a trap set for you, you know, when there's a trap being set for you, you don't know, do you? You don't know usually until you've fallen into the trap that there was a trap set for you. Otherwise it wouldn't be a secret trap, would it?
No.
And you wouldn't fall in it, would you? If you knew there was a trap there, you wouldn't fall into it. But if you've fallen into a trap, you didn't know it was there.
No.
Hallelujah, there is a deliverer from the trap of the enemy. A great deliverer. God will deliver us. And Grace and I did not realize at the time that there was a trap being set for us within the business. Because you see, you think you mix with people who are honorable and truthful and trustworthy.
Yeah.
But God will set us free.
Yeah.
And we realized then that we were in a battle. But God was faithful to us and brought us through that difficult situation. And we thank God for that. But it was the fact that we stood on this, on the word, that he is our deliverer. So I can share this word out of a personal experience, knowing that God is able to do far more than we can ask or think or believe. God is able to. But we have a part to play. We have a part to be involved in this word. that this word begins to work in our lives and begins to change our destiny, begins to set us in the right places. God will begin to deliver us and show us that he has committed himself to us. And you know, every day we need to realize that as we arise, every day we need to say, Lord, as it says in verse 5, into thy hand I commit my spirit. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I commit my spirit to you. Lord, you've redeemed me.
Yeah.
And you're the God of truth. And you know, if you and I walk in truth, then you'll see God work.
Yeah.
You'll see God do what he needs to do to change the situation and circumstances.
Yeah.
But you walk in a lie, and let me tell you this, God is not walking with you.
No.
You walk in deceit, and you'll find God is not walking with you. You see, truth and lies can't walk together. Deceit and honesty cannot walk together. They're two opposings. Yeah. Fear and faith don't walk together. But we have to have faith and trust in this word. And as we walk out in truth, this word, we'll see. Verse 7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercies. God is merciful to his people.
Yeah.
God is merciful to his people. God is not seeking to bring you down.
No.
God is seeking to lift you up.
Amen.
You were already down.
Yeah.
Some of you couldn't get much lower.
No.
So how can you say God's going to get me down? He's not. He's lifting you up. You're already down there. But God is lifting you up into high places.
Oh.
He's lifting you up into heavenly places, the word says. He has set your feet upon a rock. You're not in sinking sand anymore. So don't believe the lies of the devil that says you're in sinking sand. Because all you've got to do is, those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that not what the word says? They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's right, isn't it? And so the moment you call on the name of the Lord, salvation, the deliverance, the deliverer appears on the scene. But our problem is, we're not using the word. We're not in this word. We're not causing this word to work in our lives. This is no good when we get to heaven. It's obsolete. We're walking with the word, that's right. We're walking in the very presence of the word, and there is no sin in heaven. Now this book is a manual of how to live life on the earth now, how to defeat the enemy, how to bring victory on the earth, how to bring the presence of God down on the earth, and how to show the presence of God on the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you know, when we're in the presence of God, we don't need the word because it's already there around us. We can smell it, we can see it, we can hear it, and we can breathe it, and we can feel it. Hallelujah. That's the word at work in us. And God wants that reality to be made manifest on the earth now. Where's the earth? Amen. It's here. This is the world, this is the earth. You are the earth. You came from the earth. Hallelujah. This is the world. We're the earth. That's what the Bible talks about. When the Bible talks about earth, it means you. It means you.
And when you're with God, no one can get you.
Absolutely. When you're walking with the Lord, he might try. The devil might try and get you, but you stay with God and there's no chance.
Amen.
God will always cause you to be victorious. Praise his name. Praise God. Let's have a look at verse 21. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvellous kindness.
Yeah.
That means his goodness.
Yeah.
His faithfulness. His kindness. Verse 21. And he's shown it as in a strong city.
Yeah.
God has set around us a fortress.
Praise
God. God has set around us a fortress, and around us are the angels.
Yeah.
Every one of us is garrisoned around by the angelic beings.
Amen.
They are there to protect, they are there to minister to us. And so we need to realize that as we are protected and covered by the precious blood of Jesus, that the angels see that covering and the angels honour that covering, and the angels are there at your beck and command to see that God's hand of blessing and see that the fulfilment of the promises of God are unto you. And it's important we learn to realize that more and more. Verse 23 says, O love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserves. That preserve means he puts a guard over you.
Okay.
He puts a watch over you.
Yeah.
He's keeping watch over you.
Yeah.
Keeping watch over you.
Yeah.
You can go to sleep, and you can sleep a good sleep. Because you know, or you should know, that God never slumbers and never sleeps, and that there is a watch that goes over you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 and 366 days a year when it's a leap year. There is never a day, there is never a moment, there is never a second when God has not got a watch over you. Praise him. You can rest in that, in the truth and the power of that, that God is being faithful to you. And God, and he's being plentiful, and he's going to reward you. He's going to bless you mightily. He's going to bring you to that place of knowing how much he loves you. Now it might seem strange, but in that verse it says that God is going to reward the proud. He's going to reward the proud, those that have got a haughty attitude. He's going to reward people that are arrogant. He's going to reward people who think highly of themselves.
Yeah.
God is going to reward them.
Yeah.
But not in the way that... it is not a reward that you and I would like. What God is saying is he's going to reward them according to what they've done. God is going to punish them according to what they've done.
Yeah.
God is going to deal with people according to what they've done.
Yeah.
And first of all, what did they do with Jesus? They rejected him, so there's punishment. There's eternal death and damnation. But for us who know Jesus and who've made Jesus Lord, God is also going to reward us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we can thank God for that. Verse 24 says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. God is about to do a great work.
Amen.
And you have to trust in him.
Yeah.
Verse 14 of that psalm says, but I trust in you, O God.
Yeah.
I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord. For I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave.
Amen.
Wow. David had got people on his back. David had got people with an intention to kill him. Did David fight them?
No.
He took it to the Lord and began to worship the Lord and begin to bring his problems before the Lord, and he laid them at God's feet.
Yeah.
And when he'd laid them down, he knew that he'd laid them before the Lord. He knew that God was going to answer.
Yeah.
And he began to praise God. And he began to rejoice in what God had told him in the past, that God was going to hide him and keep him and protect him. God was going to cover him over. God was going to cause him to know his protection. And that is what God is doing for us today.
Yeah.
God will do that.
Yeah.
Now, during this reading of that day last year, when Grace and I were being pressed, being squashed, being shaped, I mean, it wasn't just a day. It had been a process that had been going on for some 6 months or more, if not nearly 9 months by the time we came to the end of it. But it was a process that was going on within us. And another word was given to us during that time, and it's Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And verse 14. And this is something that every one of us needs. I, wisdom, have good advice and sound wisdom. I, wisdom, have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me, rulers rule, and nobles of all who govern rightly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honour are with me, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, endowing with wealth those who love me, and filling their treasures. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. And when he had not yet made earth and fields for the world's first bits of soil, God brought wisdom forth. Wow. That is amazing. That wisdom existed before God created the universe. Wisdom has been around a long time. Wisdom has been around a long time. Who would like an extra dose of wisdom? Yeah, amen. Well, let me tell you, it's been around a long time. Yeah, the word says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And so as we begin to reverence and fear the presence of God, not in a fearful way, but in an awesome way, that God created wisdom right at the beginning, before he started on the universe. Wisdom was, if you begin to read it in more detail, wisdom was involved in creation.
Right.
You can see it when you sit back and ponder, can't you?
Yeah.
But wisdom was involved in all God's creation. Wisdom was working alongside of God, alongside of Jesus, alongside of the Holy Ghost. Now let me say this. If wisdom was working alongside at those early stages of creation, how much more to this day do we need wisdom working alongside of us? Yeah, we do, a lot. And wisdom is not gained just by going to school. See, you can't teach wisdom.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
If they say the world's going to end.
Who does?
If you've just been on news and stuff, say the world's going to end.
Not unless...
Before.
They're always saying... See, the world's always fear-mongering.
Yeah.
You see, the world... people try and make you and I afraid.
Yeah.
They try to... People are controlled by fear. If you're in fear, you're going to be controlled.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
And the world system seeks to control you by fear. And God is not a God of fear. God is a God of life. God is a God of blessing. And the earth, the world, belongs to the Lord. And everything that is in it belongs to Him. And if anybody's going to wind it up, it's God. Nobody takes what belongs to God.
Amen.
Lest God releases it.
Yeah.
And God has no intention of releasing what belongs to Him. God never has anything surplus. Everything that God has a use, a place, and a position in His kingdom. God is not a wasteful God. God is a God of abundance.
Amen.
But it is there to meet needs.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is not a wasteful God. You see, we are a wasteful society.
Yeah.
But God is not a wasteful God.
No.
There is not one word of God that will fall to the ground and never accomplish what He says. Now that proves that God is not a wasteful God.
Amen.
God says that even the sparrow, even the hairs on Ken's head here, God knows how many they are.
Which one?
Which one? If he lost a couple today when he brushed his hair, God arranged the recount.
Amen.
God knows.
He does. He does.
Don't ask me how he does it. But you see, he's God.
Yes.
He's the Almighty. He's the Creator. He knows all things. And God is not a man that he should lie. And so when we bring our concerns, our worries, our problems to God, we should bring them with this precious word. And we should begin to seek God and bring them to God and say, Lord, give us wisdom.
Amen.
Give us understanding.
Yeah.
I think one of the greatest pieces of understanding we can get is that when we lay our problems before the Lord, it puts Him in control.
Amen.
And I am out of control.
Yeah.
And when you start to understand that,
yeah,
you can lay back,
yeah,
and enjoy the ride.
Amen.
But Lord, I don't like big dippers. Neither do I, let me tell you. You know? But sometimes God will take you on a roller coaster ride.
He will.
And I hate them.
And so do I.
Out of choice, I will not go on one. There was one time we were out with a family and we ended up at
American
Adventure Park. My family, friends,
so-called,
yeah, pulled a fast one on me. They said, let's go on this. It's this log flume. It's this thing that just goes on water. Oh, I thought, I can handle that, no problem. Hey, no sweat, you know. Then I got on this thing and they actually sat me in the very front seat. I was okay in this as we were going round this level bit for a little while, and then suddenly it began to climb. And I looked up and I thought, this is not good. This is not what I want. And it climbed up to a level and it went round on this level again, and then suddenly it climbed again, and I thought, oh, I'm not happy. I want to get... Now, it was climbing so slowly that if I'd have wanted, I could have quite easily stood up and got out and got on these steps. I'd have caused a riot downstairs. I'd have caused an absolute panic. But I got to admit, it was in my mind, really seriously, I'm getting out. I am not going over the top. And I mean, I'm like, shall I get out, shan't it? I thought, the fuss I'll cause, you know. And I am serious about getting out of this thing. Anyway, whilst I was thinking about it, debating and pondering on it, we arrived at the top. And the view caught my eye. I thought, wow, we're a long way up here, aren't we? And as we were going round, I took my eye off the front end. And then all of a sudden I felt this thing just simply go. And he began to drop. He nosedived and that's what seemed to be straight down. It just dropped, boom, 90 degrees and went straight down. And I'm like, I was in so much fear and panic, I opened my mouth and nothing came out. I mean, I'm like,
air pressure
back. Was it the air pressure that held everything back? I'm like suspended in time. And I'm thinking, God, no. And I'm rushing down towards the ground to this water. And then we hit the water. And then the water hit me. I mean, I'm sat at the front. I'm sopping wet. And I think somebody said, shall we go on it again? I said, there's no way. That is the first time and that's the last time. I'm not going on that thing again. I mean, I can't stick there. I mean, but just to simply go boom, like that. Scary. I don't know what the drop was, but it'll never happen again.
Aye,
it does, yeah. Panic struck, you know, trembling. And we went round this park and further on, they were going on this thing that it sort of took them up that way, forwards, didn't it? That was it. Was that the one? Took them up forwards, didn't it? Took them right to the top. And it just let go. And they went back up the other side, you know. And then there were people getting off. And they were getting off like this. Their legs were trembling, their arms were trembling, they were ash and white. And there's this lady in about her 50s, and she says, oh, she says, it was fantastic. I thought, if that's fantastic, you can stick it. I mean, she didn't look as if she were having a good time. I mean, it looked like a bomb had gone off next to her or something. And I'm thinking, and she's having a good time. I think that's not a good time to me. She's on the verge of a heart attack or something, this woman, you know. And I'm thinking, it's bad enough in an aeroplane when you're going along and all of a sudden it just goes, whoop. You know, and you can guarantee they've just filled your cup up with coffee or tea. It's an absolute. They know where the bumps in the roads are. And they fill your coffee cup up and you put your sugar in and you stir in it and as you dip your spoon in it, the plane just goes whoosh. And you go, and then it starts rocking from side to side and you go, whoop. And then it steadies off and you think, that's it, I'm okay. Right, I'll risk it now. With you pick your cup up, you're just about to drink it and the plane goes again. Think, it's the worst thing that can happen, you know. And this thing being to rock and roll, and they fill it up to the top, you know. They just love to do it. And they say, "Thank you for flying with us. Hope you've had a good flight." Yeah, send your dry cleaning bill to somebody else. I can't, you know, I just can't handle them rides. But yet when we're on a plane, I just have to trust God. just to put my hands and my faith in God and say, Lord, you're going to deliver me safely.
Amen.
And I must admit, all the many thousands of miles we've flown, we've not had many trips that have given us those sort of rides, praise God, and we've flown a lot of mileage. Because, you know, when I get on a plane now, I literally just walk up, as we're going on to the, you know, you're going through the doorway on the plane, I lay my hand on the plane, and I pray. Because, you know, it's guaranteed there's a pause as you're going through the door. And I hijack that plane in the name of Jesus. There is no hijackers on that plane other than me. And I hijack that plane for Jesus. And I proclaim that as I've left home in safety, so I shall arrive in safety.
Amen.
And the baggage and everything else will go arrive there in complete safety. And then I go and sit and enjoy the flight. Because God hears and answers our prayer. Praise His name. Yes, again and again and again. He never lets us down. And that's the exciting thing. So you and I want to spend time listening to what the Spirit's saying to us. And as we listen, He'll give us some good advice, Sandra.
He will.
You know. But the thing that gets in our way of receiving good advice is fear.
Yeah.
What if it don't work? What if it don't happen? God is faithful. God is faithful. God's hand is upon you. God's eye is upon you. To do you good, to bless you, and to make you a blessing. And it's important that you and I realise that we need to sometimes just begin to declare the Psalms. We need to proclaim the Psalms over our lives. And I want to recommend to you, some of you asylum seekers, start at Psalm 23.
Amen.
And start reading through. And read through 23, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31. You will find in there, God will speak to you.
Yes.
God will encourage you.
Yes.
And not just you asylum seekers. But every one of us, when there is a difficulty, when there is a problem, this book has got the answers for today's problems.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This book has got the solution to every problem on this earth. Glory to God. But we've got to start believing it. We've got to start believing that what God says is true. And that God is true to His Word. And God won't suddenly slip you onto a roller coaster too often.
No.
He'll give you a thrill now and again, like. But but you see, in that you gain confidence in God.
Yeah,
but you see, you learn to realise that underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of God. As I said, He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you.
Yeah.
Praise Him. And it is learning to rest and learning to trust Him. Because as we trust Him, and this is what God is looking for. God is looking for, do you really trust me? He's saying, do you really believe this word? Because if you do, you'll trust it. And don't take this wrongly, any of you, please. But there'll be less of us coming out for prayer.
Yeah.
And there'll be more of us coming out and say, hey, guess what? I had this situation. And thanks be to God.
Amen.
He delivered me.
Yes.
And we'll be giving praise to Him.
Amen.
And you'll be able to say, do you know how I did it? I got into His Word. And I got all of the truth of this word.
Yeah.
And I began to declare this word every day.
Yeah.
And in some situations you might get a piece of paper and write it out and just take it with you.
Yeah.
And every so often you pull it out of your pocket, your purse, and you begin to read it. Yes, yes, God said, He'll never leave me, He'll never forsake me. God said, the enemy shall never triumph over me. God said, He set my foot upon a rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. For the Lord of hosts says so. Hallelujah. So you begin to give Him glory and praise. And you begin to magnify His name. You begin to thank God is my refuge and my strength, my fortress, my deliverer. And you can begin to use those scriptures to encourage you to faith. I better say encourage you to greater faith.
Yeah.
You have faith.
Yes,
you have faith. But God wants you to have greater faith.
Amen.
He wants you to grow to a level of faith that will change circumstances and situations around you. Literally, before you call, God says, I will answer.
Yeah.
Wow. And again, I can testify to that. Many years ago, when we needed a mortgage on a house, the building society were not going to lend me the money or the full amount. I had nowhere to go at that point in time to get any more money. So I got ready with my arguments in the natural. I walked into this building society. I didn't even get a chance to argue. They said, how much do you want? And I just told them how much I wanted. They said, fine, that's it, sign here. And I'm like, whoa, we're going to have this argument. You know, I'm set for this debate. And I went out, and as I got outside, I'd only walked 10 foot down the streets. And God said to me, before you call, I've answered. And I went, whoa, glory to God, you know. You don't have to argue. You don't have to fight your corner.
No, God
does. God is the one. And I thought, well, praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. And I just blessed Him for it. And let me tell you this, God will defend your corner.
He will.
As long as you're in this book.
Yep.
Staining the truth of the word, God will begin to deliver us.
He will.
And it's not about, but it's about truth. Last week we talked about truth. You see, some people will try and manipulate this, manipulate the word to fit their situation and circumstances. Doesn't work.
No.
I've known people over the years who've had financial difficulties, and they go around telling everybody about them.
Mm.
Until in the end, some dear soul takes pity and meets their need. And then they go around saying, oh, God met my need. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. You actually went out and you started a process of manipulation.
Mm, yeah.
I'm a bit blunt about those things, you see, because that's really the way I see it. You know, but if there's a secret that only you and God know, and that you have a financial difficulty and you don't speak it out to anybody else other than God, and suddenly God meets the need, guess what? It was God who met that need. Because no man knew it. Okay, He used a man or a woman to meet it, but no man knew it. Wow. Then you know it's God. Then you know God's listening to you, and God is meeting your every need. And that is fantastic when God does that. And again, we've had situations like that where God has met our need. Nobody knew anything about it. But God. And that is a real blessing. Because you know God's on your side all the time.
Amen.
You see, you don't have to look to man to meet your need. You have to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He meets the need. Not the state. Not your job.
No.
But Jesus. And so whatever your need is, as you begin to declare some of this psalm. Psalm 31 and verse 19, and you begin to say, how great is thy goodness. Glory to God. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. You see, we're trusting in God before we're trusting in man. We're trusting in God before we're trusting in man. We're trusting in God before we're trusting in a system. And we begin to say, how great is thy goodness. His mercy endures forever. He changeth not. Hallelujah. He's the God who sets every captive free. Praise his name. His goodness never ceases. And his mercies endure forever. Amen. This is the God who we live and serve.
Amen.
This is the God who is intending to bring blessing and power into our lives. And the more we gather wisdom from his word, the more we gather understanding of how God moves.
Yeah.
Not how the world works, but how God moves. And we can only gather it through spending time in his word. And sometimes, you know, you're going to just have to read and not understand. You're going to have to read and not understand. And then suddenly, God just flashes his light on a portion of scripture and it jumps out to you. And God says, this is what I've got for you today. And begins to share it. It's like I said this morning. I'm praying, Lord, where do I go today? And she said, Psalm 31. Okay. Right, wow, it's a good psalm. Yeah, great. I mean, you can preach a great message out of this. And then Grace says, oh, last year, Psalm 31.
Yeah.
When God said, well, basically, Lord, God told us not to go to war. Don't go to war. Don't go to court. Don't go to war. Because I am going to deliver you.
Amen.
And you know, right up to the 11th hour, it looked like we were going to war. And I had begun to get a mindset that said, okay, God, if this is what we're to do to go to war, then I am beginning to set my mind for battle. And you know what I did? I began to set my mind in peace. And began to set my mind to trust God. And you know, some of you had seen me rocking. You'd seen me in the boat. And when I tell you, when it starts to rock, there's times when you feel like you want to throw up. And there's times when you feel like, I want to get off this boat.
Yeah.
But you know, God uses a 10-year-old boy to bring a verse of scripture to you.
Yeah.
Tells you what you've got to do. And then somebody else confirms another verse of scripture. But when God speaks through a 10-year-old boy, you know that whether the boat's going up and down, and doing those sort of things, nose diving, that it'll never sink.
That's right.
It will never sink. Because God never fails in his promises.
Amen.
Many of you know that 10-year-old boy was Luke at the time. I think he was about 10, would he be? A bit older, was he? 10, 11, 12. But he just brought that word. And it just slapped me around the face. Made me realise that God was still in control.
Amen.
Although the situation to me from my side looked out of control, God was still in control.
Yeah.
You see, there are so many other people can be involved in the difficulties and the problems that you are in.
Mm-hmm.
That are stirring it up. That are causing the difficulties, but you forget. You take your eyes off the one who is really in control.
Yeah.
And everything that is going on has to go through that gap.
Yeah.
And that gap is Jesus.
Amen.
When it begins to go through that gap, there is a filtering, there is a sifting, there is a sorting.
Yeah.
And He sorts. And what comes out the other side is what He allows to pass through. And it is what He allows to bring glory to His name.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so you and I have to reach into this word, and this God will, this word will bring us wisdom.
Will
bring us strength. It'll cause us to realize that God is going to bring great blessings upon us.
Yeah.
As we rest in Him.
Yeah.
And as we trust Him. But it is to rejoice in God first.
You
have to rejoice even when it looks black.
Yeah.
As we said last week, Paul and Silas, they rejoiced in prison and they'd beaten. And they sang songs of praise and worship. But they kept on rejoicing. The only way we can do this is by continually seeking God. I picked up this little bit of information. With this I'll finish. A story of a preacher. One Sunday a preacher told how while sitting in his garden, he had watched a caterpillar climbing a painted stick that was for decoration in the garden. After reaching the top, the caterpillar reared itself, feeling its way that it might find a juicy twig to feed on, or some way to further progress from where it was. Finding nothing, it slowly returned to the ground, crawled along until it reached another painted twig, stick should I say, and then did the same thing over again. And the preacher said, there are many painted sticks in this world. Those of pleasure, wealth and fame. All these call man, saying, climb me to find the desire of your heart. Fulfill the purpose of your existence. Taste the fruit of success and find satisfaction. But they are only painted sticks.
Yeah.
Solomon tried to find the purpose of his life in the world's painted sticks. He gave his heart to seek wisdom, but learned that it was vanity and vexation of spirit. Ecclesiastes 1:15. He then turned to pleasures of the world for meaning in life. He built great houses and gardens and pools. He had servants and maidens. In fact, he had all that a man could desire. Solomon's comment on pleasure as a true source of happiness, however, was all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Ecclesiastes 2:11. After trying all that the world could offer, Solomon's final decision was, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. And keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Amen. Lord bless you. And as we come around this...